This morning, our series brings us to envy, and our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 32. So he, the prodigal son, got up and went to his father. While the son was still a long way off, his father saw him. He was filled with tender love for his son. He ran to him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am no longer fit to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. This son of mine who was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and now he is found." And so they began to celebrate. The older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come home," the servant replied. "Your father has killed the fattest calf. He has done this because your brother is back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So his father went out and begged him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've worked like a slave for you. I've always obeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours wasted your money, and now he comes home, and you kill the fattest calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad. This brother of yours was dead, and now he is alive again. He was lost and now is found." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Would you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, we thank you for hearing your word. We thank you for what you have given to us in our emotions. And we ask you to clear away the fog of comparison in our hearts. Teach us to see your gifts in others without resentment. Help us to find contentment in the grace you give each of us. Open us to your wisdom that heals and unites. Amen. It was just a few days ago, maybe even yesterday, that we were celebrating the 4th of July with cookouts and fireworks, flags waving in the breeze. A holiday that reminds us of freedom, of gratitude, of the blessings that we have as the American people. But maybe, just maybe, it also stirred something else. Maybe you found yourself scrolling through photos of someone else's beach trip, lake house, or their picture-perfect picnic, while you were dealing with burnt burgers and mosquito bites. Or maybe the fireworks just reminded you of how many people were off celebrating with family and friends while you felt alone. You wouldn't say it out loud, but maybe you thought, "Must be nice." That's envy. It's sneaky and quiet. It doesn't always shout. It whispers. And as it shows up for all of us, no matter our age. And Inside Out, envy is the smallest, most adorable character. If you notice, when you watch the movie, she only has four fingers. Because envy constantly makes us feel like we're missing something. She only wants good things for Riley, but she can push Riley to do things that don't lead her towards good. Kids may feel it when a classmate got a new phone or a new bike, or your siblings got more screen time. Teens, maybe you've envied someone who made the team or got more likes on their post or got. While adults, we're not off the hook. Maybe you've watched your coworker get the promotion or your neighbor get the new car when the AC went out in yours on the hottest day of the week. Or another parent seems to have it all together while you're just trying to make it through. Maybe you felt the sting of envy watching your friends enjoy travel while health keeps you close to home. Or you feel sad when they enjoy their close-knit family who lives in town while your kids and grandkids live out of state. Envy doesn't care how old you are. It's the part of us that sees someone else's joy and feels a little smaller inside. Feels like we're missing out on something. In the story of the prodigal son, we often pay the most attention to the younger brother, but Jesus included the older brother's experience in the story, the one who stayed close to home, did everything right, and still felt like he was missing something. He watched his father celebrate his ungrateful younger brother, and he just couldn't bring himself to join the party. But maybe, just maybe, God has something to say to all of us about why envy shows up, what it reveals, and how grace can set us free. You don't have to get very far into the Bible to see how dangerous envy can become. In Genesis 4, two brothers bring offerings to God. Abel's is received with favor, and Cain's is not. We don't know why. But instead of asking why, or how he might grow, or how what he might do to be able to please God, Cain lets envy take root. God even warns him, sin is lurking at the door, its desire for you, but you must master it. But Cain doesn't. He lets envy fester until it turns into violence, and Cain killed his brother Abel. That's what envy does. It distorts our view of others and of ourselves. It takes what should be a shared moment of worship and turns it into rivalry. Cain couldn't rejoice in Abel's joy. He could only compare and destroy. Fast forward to Exodus 20. God gives us what we call the Ten Commandments to God's people after they've escaped slavery in Egypt. Once they've reached freedom, God gives them what the Jewish faith calls the Ten Utterances to shape a people who are claimed by God, who are claimed by God's covenant to be set apart, to live differently than the rest of the world. Pastor Kelly explains that God gives instructions for how to live in a just and kind society. There should be no other gods but the God who has given us freedom. We should not make idols to replace our God. We should not misuse God's name or God's word. We should rest on the Sabbath day because God did, and because we need rest. We should honor our parents. We should not kill or commit adultery or steal or lie. And lastly, most relevantly, we should not covet, desire, want what our neighbor has. Do not want to have your neighbor's house, wife, male or female servant, oxen or donkey, aka car, boat, camper, job, kids, clothes, you get it. These aren't just rules handed down from a distance. They're spoken words from a God who longs to be in relationship with God's people, and they end not with a punishment to avoid, but with a heart check. You should not covet, because God knows what envy can do to a community. And God gives us these words not to restrict life, but to protect it, to shape it and to help us live in love. God doesn't just outlaw murder, although why not? He goes straight to the root. Why does murder happen? Envy and anger, desire, comparison. The commandments aren't just rules. They help us know what to look out for. They guide us away from destruction. God knows what envy can do, and God desires that we have an abundant life, that we have gratitude for the life we have without yearning for what our neighbors have. God knows that comparison and competition just drive us away from each other. There's a difference between admiration and competition. My friend asked me, so what about when envy drives us to try to achieve more? It's about the heart of it. Envy makes you want to shove the other person out of the way as you race towards the finish line, and competition wants to make you the best athlete you can be. Admiration says, I want to be like that amazing athlete. I want to be like them, not I want to replace them and be better than they are. God doesn't just tell us what not to do, kill, cheat, steal, or lie, but God tells us how to avoid ending up in those situations. Do not be envious. God doesn't just care about what we do. God cares about what's going on in our heart. God loves us from the inside out. God cares about how our humanity can cause us to do the wrong things. And even the best of God's people fall into the trap of envy. So when you feel it welling up in you, know that you are not alone, but know that there is something to watch out for. King David wanted this lady, Bathsheba. He slept with her, got her pregnant, and he sent her husband into battle and had him killed so that he could make her his own. And that's not where the story ends. David is confronted face to face with what envy, lust, and power have done to his life. The prophet Nathan holds up a mirror, and David finally sees what he has become. And instead of hiding, he confesses, he repents. He writes words we still pray today in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And that's his turning point. Because God doesn't just want us to behave better. God wants us to heal what's broken inside us, to clean the envy out of our hearts and replace it with something better, something holier. God wants to make us whole. In the story of the prodigal son, the father welcomes his foolish and wasteful son back with open arms. He celebrates his life. He invites him back into the family with honor, because no matter what he has done, he is loved unconditionally by the father. His older son is envious. He feels taken for granted and ignored. He doesn't want to participate in the party he feels like his brother doesn't deserve. The father wanted his older, responsible son to realize he always had everything he could ever want or need. Everything I have is yours, he says. He was envious even when he had everything. And that's the trap of envy, isn't it? It convinces us we're missing out, even when we already have more than enough. It steals our joy and distorts our relationship and leaves us standing outside the party that God invites us to enjoy. It's like if we decide not to come to communion, not to experience God's grace and mercy, just because we think the person in the pew in front of us doesn't deserve it. The older brother followed all the rules. He was responsible. He was faithful. He was loyal. But he still missed the heart of the father. He couldn't be happy that his brother had come home. He couldn't be happy to see his father feeling joy because his lost son had been found. His father's happiness about his brother didn't mean he loved his older son any less. And that's what exactly Paul is talking about in Galatians 5. He lists all these ways that brokenness shows up when we try to live by our own strength, things like selfishness, jealousy, and destructive anger. In Inside Out, Envy doesn't seem like the green-eyed monster. She's adorable and she seems harmless, but she leads Riley away from being herself. Envy makes Riley think that she needs to be like other people to be accepted. Together with anxiety, envy leads Riley to leave her real friends behind so she can be better at hockey. Because she isn't being herself, she acts out and embarrasses herself, not by being not true to her own strengths and community. These aren't just outward behaviors, they're signs that something is off inside of us. Because when we are living like Jesus, when we are looking toward God to lead our lives, we aren't ruled by these things, by comparison and selfishness and envy. Our lives aren't driven by comparing ourselves to others. We're led by the Spirit to go where God leads us, to do what the Spirit calls us to do. God gives us desires that lead us into his will. But it's not as if we won't want things or shouldn't want things, but our desires shouldn't be driven by what other people have or trying to fit in with other people or be better than others. Paul reminds us that when we walk with the Spirit, there's room for God's qualities to grow within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the life God is forming in us. Not a life ruled by envy, but a life led by the Spirit. When Paul describes love in 1 Corinthians 13, he's talking about God's perfect love for us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Real love doesn't compare. It doesn't compete. It celebrates. Envy says, "Why do they get that and not me?" Love says, "I'm so happy you got a new bike." Even if I don't have a new bike, even if I don't have an old bike. There's a word for that. It's called compassion. Compassion beyond mere sympathy. Frederick Buechner defines compassion as sometimes a fatal capacity for feeling what it's like to live inside someone else's skin. He explains that there can never really be peace and joy for me until there is peace and joy for you too. Compassion isn't just sympathy, it's complete empathy. It means finding joy in someone else's joy. The older brother could not feel that kind of compassion for his brother. He couldn't be happy that his brother was home or that his father was happy. Maybe he even felt threatened that his brother may take some of his resources and try to claim a second inheritance. Today, the kind of compassion Frederick Buechner is describing looks like a bridesmaid being overjoyed that her best friend has found love, even though she hasn't met her person yet. Or being happy for your friend who made the team, even if you didn't. Or being excited that your friends get to take a trip, even if you can't afford to plan one right now. You can still want to find love, be disappointed that you didn't make the team, or feel sad that you can't plan a vacation, but those feelings don't have to turn towards envy and prevent you from feeling happiness for the people you care about. Compassion is the heart of Christian community. to rejoice with those who rejoice. Practicing this kind of love opens us to the fullness of God's generosity, because grace is not a pie that runs out when someone else gets a slice. Envy tells us that we're missing out, that we're not enough, that someone else's joy somehow lessens our own. But the truth is, God hasn't forgotten you. You are already deeply loved, already invited to the table, already a part of the celebration. The older brother thought he had been overlooked, but the father reminds him, "Everything I have is yours." What if we believed that too? What if we stopped measuring our lives against someone else's successes and start living in the joy of what we already have? The Spirit is still at work, turning comparison into contentment, envy into empathy, resentment into rejoicing. So when envy starts to whisper, don't let it take the wheel. Let love speak louder. Let the Spirit guide you. Let God make you whole from the inside out. And when you see someone else win, succeed, celebrate, or shine, try practicing compassion. Let their joy become your joy. Because in the kingdom of God, we don't run out of love. We just keep passing it around. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Loving and generous God, we come to you with open hands and honest hearts. We confess that we look around instead of looking up. We compare, we compete, we envy, forgetting how much we have already received in you. But today we choose a different posture. We choose gratitude. We thank you for the blessings we've been given, seen and unseen. For the quiet joys, the daily bread, the people who love us, and the grace that meets us, even when we forget how blessed we are. Help us to rejoice in the good news around us, even when it belongs to someone else. Teach us to celebrate without comparing, to admire without resenting, and to give thanks for all things. Shape our hearts with contentment, root us in your love, and make us a people who reflect your generosity in our words, our actions, and our joy. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we lift up our country. We give thanks for the freedom we have, and we pray your mercy upon those who are not experiencing freedom, who are experiencing fear. God, we especially lift up those families who were affected by the flooding in Texas and the families who are missing their children. God, be present in the unknown. Be present when we are scared. Help us to trust you. God, we thank you that we are gathered together in this place, that we might pray together this prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.